For marketing agencies and social media managers looking to prove the value of their work, I've got something special for you. Agora Pulse is not only Social Media Examiner's tool of choice as an all-in-one social media management tool, it also allows you to track the traffic, conversion, and revenue from every social post, comment, and private message. Learn how to prove your social media ROI with a free training or a free trial by visiting agorapulse.com/SME today. Again, agorapulse.com/SME.
Welcome to the Social Media Marketing Talk Show, your guide to the ever-changing world of social media.
All right, on today's show, we're going to explore the most important YouTube updates marketers need to know, including you can now remix or remix. We'll tell you what that means and why you might want to do it. Also, a new setting during the upload process that could get us in trouble if we skip it. So I want to make sure you're up to date on that. And YouTube and TikTok seem to be competing for who's going to have the best shopping experience. And YouTube is really making some impressive updates if you sell products there or anywhere. And so there's some new integrations, all kinds of stuff. We'll cover that as well and more. My name is Jerry Potter. Yes, it rhymes with the boy wizard. Host of the Social Media Marketing Talk Show, a Social Media Examiner production where we break down the latest social media news and what it means for marketers like you.
AI has been a massive disruptive force over the past year. That's why we're excited to announce our brand new show, introducing AI Explored. It's a weekly show hosted by me, Michael Stelzner. If you want to understand how to put AI to work, this is the show for you. Each week, we'll dive deep into using AI to your advantage. We're talking the practical, tactical stuff that I know you're probably craving. Search for AI Explored on your favorite podcast app, and happy listening.
Today, I'm joined by Diana Gladney. Diana is a YouTube expert and consultant. Her YouTube channel is designed to help entrepreneurs simplify the video creation process, and she's host of the Video Simplified podcast. Diana, welcome back to the show.
It is my pleasure to be here. I'm super pumped about today's episode.
Yeah, there are a lot of updates. So let's start with remixing a remix. Tell us exactly what that means and how we can apply that.
Yeah, so this is a little bit of a content inception, if you will, where we're used to the remixes where if we're making this video and we post this as a short, and then somebody else in the Social Media Examiner community decides that they want to give their feedback, let's say for their niche or audience, and they remix our short, then that's one remix. But somebody now can take, and somebody else may see that in their community and say, you know, I heard Sarah talk about this from Social Media Examiner show or whatever, and there a little bit of Sarah's clips play. Somebody else can decide to remix that. And so there's a little bit of an infinite possibility where we can now start to get longevity from our content, where it's not just having to go find and grab that original video, but we can start to do what we've been experiencing and already enjoying on a lot of other platforms, which is remixing the remix, or being able to take it when we see it, no matter how many layers it's been shared. And now we can speak to the piece that spoke to us the most.
I love it. And I just, whenever I see remix, I still hear Missy Elliott yelling from back in the day.
Yes.
So what do you think algorithmically is potentially going to happen? If you created a short and then somebody remixed it, somebody remixed that, you feel like it's going to trickle back and keep giving new life to the original short?
Yeah, because there is some question, which I haven't seen this answered as well as I would like to, about like what happens if that creator decides to remove that original video, what happens to all the remixes thereafter. I think it'll be safe to a point because I can't see them taking all of that watch time, all that reach, all of that positive purchase of content now just being washed away. What I do think will happen is that original short will actually do well because we now start to see it be a little bit more far reaching. And this is like when somebody takes one of your videos and they add it to their playlist on their channel, and it's almost better than a share because a share is like, hey, guys, look at this real quick. And then that post gets buried into the feed, whereas them remixing it, making it a part of their content, they're adding your credibility with theirs and it becomes a powerhouse. And so I think this will become extremely powerful, kind of like I said, with the regular videos and being added to a playlist. I think this is something that can be very, very good for creators, especially if you have like a news type show or segment in your industry or niche or whatever it is that you're talking to in your industry.
Okay. And in other shorts news, a new opportunity for people that are running channel memberships. Tell us about this.
Yes. So if you have a channel membership turned on, what they're now doing, I'm seeing this kind of bring back to life when they took away the YouTube stories. And that was kind of a blow. I really like YouTube stories because honestly, it's like I want to watch these people on YouTube. I'm already here. I don't want to have to go to Instagram or Facebook to see more in their life or what they're working on and stuff like that, especially if they're doing something really incredible. So now this is a way to have these channel member only shorts, and they are encouraging you to don't try to overproduce this one. Don't worry about trying to edit this one. Show more life events, show more of yourself, behind the scenes stuff in a way that you don't have to feel like you're promoting and having to, quote unquote, really make something. And that's the messaging that they're really pushing in this particular piece, which I find extremely gratifying because there is some element of that that people want. And they're saying from their own statistics that people want to see more member type stuff because they really love that aspect, I guess, because they don't have to feel like they're fighting the algorithm or something.
Yeah. So you're looking at this. It's funny. I didn't miss stories until they were gone, right? Because I'm a flawed human in that way. But so you're saying they're almost encouraging this to be used as a more casual, like maybe you don't add music. There's not a lot of jump cuts. It could just be you ripping and recording for 60 seconds, sharing a tip or something like that.
Yep, 100%. And honestly, they're probably, I would say, some of the stuff we've seen them promote more recently that we talked about on previous episodes, things like features that they're talking about in the community tab, other, you know, members only live streams or elements to that, getting feedback and all those different things. So they're encouraging you to like not think about curating posts, but bringing them into your like everyday stuff of what you're doing. And just one, that increases a ton more watch time sessions, but it creates stronger brand affinity per creator, per account. And I think memberships is the best way to do that. So I like it a whole lot.
All right. There's a new upload setting that everybody needs to know about so we don't get in trouble for it. We'll tell you about here in just a second. But I want to tell you about something else really cool. Imagine knowing what marketing strategies or tactics will work without spending time or money on trial and error. Imagine being able to pull back the curtain, see exactly how to implement these strategies with no stone left unturned. That's what happens when you join the Social Media Marketing Society. Society is your trusted source for tips, techniques, cutting-edge strategies that get results. You can join today and you'll find out real quick why 1,000 marketers trust the society to help them eliminate guesswork. If you want to get more info and sign up, go to socialmediasociety.info. Again, that's socialmediasociety.info. So when it came to AI and being transparent about what was great with AI and what was not, we didn't know where this was going to go, but now this has been officially added to the upload process on YouTube. So tell us exactly how this works, Diana.
Yeah. So YouTube is really starting to, I would say, gently introduce some parameters to create like some kind of a framing around AI and content creation. And I think it's really just for the protection of the viewers and for the clarity of us creators. What they're wanting right now is a label, or having to do right now is having a label to say where you need to strengthen and increase the transparency to say, is a significant portion of this or all of it or like a meaningful part of what you're doing? And I have to go into a little bit more depth on what that means because I had to research more on what they meant when they kept saying that.
Yeah.
On like a part of this video, it's like, is it something where, like, we know we have elections coming up, which tends to get pretty messy. Are you recreating something or a segment of something that didn't happen? Are you sharing, let's say you're into, I don't know, you're talking about stuff in your city. We just had the eclipse, which is a big worldwide event. So it's like maybe you're creating like where the eclipse turned into and all of a sudden a Game of Thrones dragon started flying. It's like, no, that didn't happen. But people may not know, you know, some weird stuff is happening, but not like that. So they just want you to disclose that and start to do that. But I think for marketers, it really is becoming a fine line with ads. And I'm finding that whether you're producing ad or promotional content, sales content, whatever, and you're using some form of AI to generate something, they want you to label if some portion of this is really like strongly enhanced with AI, not like voice correction tools or beauty perfection tools or something like that. But like, this isn't me, quote unquote, let's say it's an AI version of me. They want you to say like, yeah, we would now need to tag that video.
Okay. And that's, I think, a really good important point is that just because you use ChatGPT to brainstorm, you don't have to say that or to come up with your title or even to write your script. They just don't want people to go, wait, did that politician do that? Or did a dragon come out during the eclipse? Or,
yeah.
You know, whatever it might be. Yeah. And I, in my own business, I've been erring on the side of being super transparent. I don't know if I have like this built-in paranoia, but I taught a podcasting workshop a couple weeks ago and I was talking about audio podcasts versus video podcasts. And I was comparing them as car versus plane. And I used AI to generate the photo. And then I was just like, I guess I should put a little thing at the bottom that says AI generated image, even though, you know, it could have been a real photo, but I feel like that's the best way to go at this point. Now, one thing I noticed, my editor uploaded a video to my YouTube channel the other day. You're not required to check this box. She was able to upload without doing that. And so it's not like some of the other ones where you have to say, this is not for kids, or some of those things where they won't let you upload without it. So just make sure that you check it, because I think long-term, they're going to crack down on this. That's when people will get in trouble.
100%.
Get channel strikes. Yeah. So, all right. A couple of updates on this For You shelf, which recently came to be a thing you could have on your channel page where it specifically recommends videos for the specific person visiting your channel in that moment. So what do we have there now?
Yeah, so if people aren't familiar, the For You shelf on your channel, when you go over to that specific channel, based on your history, the kind of stuff that you watch, so this will be different for everybody initially and has been, where it's like, based on what you've been watching and liking and engaging with, we think these pieces the most out of this library are things that you would watch. The only problem with that is, especially like you think about a show like this on this channel, we talk news all the time around different social media platforms. Some stuff becomes easily outdated. It could be 6 months ago. I don't want you recommending old information that maybe,
yes,
like if we were still talking about YouTube stories, like this is a new feature. It's like, that's the feature that actually passed away. So you can now curate, decide if you want to pull a video and recommend it there. We're now getting more control over this feature to say, yeah, this needs to be only stuff from the last 12 months or so. We need to be able to decide, do we want certain videos up there? So we're getting the ability to not necessarily make that into a playlist, perhaps, but some of those same control tools that we've seen with playlists, we're able to kind of curate some of the videos that should go there, especially when it comes to relevancy over the last 12 months.
Yeah, and that's a key thing, like you said, for certain channels like Social Media Examiner, and I make social media tutorials, and it's like, I don't want them to show I don't care if it has hundreds of thousands of views, don't show the tutorial from 4 years ago, because it's probably not relevant anymore. So that's great that we're getting a little bit more control there. And we were just talking about having to check that AI box. There's a lot of things that your video goes through for approval before it will go live. And so YouTube, as I understand, is consolidating some of the notifications around that. What's going on with that?
Right. So most of us, I think it was a tone I picked up, was just like slightly annoyed that we were starting to have so many checks and balances just to upload a video. And honestly, I think the AI generated information and stuff will become something that's a part of that. But this ability now to pre-check notifications or start getting notified when all this stuff is done, maybe an hour later, could be 30 minutes later, just depends. Can you let me know so I'm not waiting, or we can start to plan better? And so now you don't have to sit around and wait. You can choose to go into the app and now say, hey, when this stuff is done, let me know, because it's, especially if this is a same day post, or this is breaking news in your industry or niche or whatever you're talking to in your business.
Yeah.
It's like, we need that stuff clear so we can actually publish the video, versus like, oh, we're not done yet. We're only 33%. So now we can get that notification.
Yeah, that's great. YouTube is continuing to build out the Studio mobile app. So for the longest time, you could look at your analytics, but you couldn't actually upload there. You can now upload videos and shorts. And if you add all the details, and if you're in the partner program or your channel is, you can select monetization settings during that as well. So you can check that out in the Studio mobile app. I haven't decided if I'm going to have that be the main app on my home screen or the regular YouTube app yet. But it's cool that they're building it out, which I like. And then this is interesting, something they're doing with captions on YouTube, which honestly, when I saw the headline, scared me until I looked into it. I was like, oh, okay, that makes sense. What is this update on captions, Diana?
So this is now giving your audience the ability to help contribute to some of those poorly generated auto captions from YouTube, where you can say, hey, my name's Diana Gladney. And it's like literally spelling glad and K-N-E-E, maybe two different words. And so where the audience be like, yeah, that's not how you spell it. So the audience now has the ability to go in, submit that request. And it's not to say that it will automatically change or anything, but it will start to say and show other viewers like somebody has already submitted this, that it should be changed. And then that gives us some of the ability to say like, yeah, that's helpful. Help me fix some of these things. So it's involving the audience more to be able to make some of those changes. It won't go through 100%, you know, just because they submitted it. So there is still some a bit of a preference. So if you have some bad actors in your community that show up, or not in your community, just show up on your video, you're still protected.
Yeah. And that was the part that I was like, oh, okay. Okay. That's good to know. And they're testing this on a small percentage of English language channels right now. So you might see something, you may not. It'll be interesting to see where it goes. I like it long-term. I think that would be a good thing to have, especially because unless you do human captions, there's going to be mistakes probably for at least a couple more years. Maybe eventually it'll all get good.
Yeah, I think channel managers, like especially if you're doing live streams and stuff like that, they love to be involved and they love to get help and start sharing links or correcting things. So I think that would be even more helpful to just add on that one more little task of things like, hey guys, if you see, you know, just as you're watching a video, you like to use captions, you see something wrong, just go ahead and submit that. I trust your judgment. And so that way, again, it just builds affinity with your brand and those that are, you know, kind of helping to keep things on the even keel.
All right, let's jump ahead to YouTube shopping. So TikTok and YouTube have just been adding shopping features like crazy for people that do sell anywhere. You know, there's integrations and things like that. What are these latest updates that it's making easier for people to sell through YouTube?
Yes. So the issue with the YouTube shopping, or not really the issue, but some of the features that they're bringing out is shopping collections. And so specifically saying like creators can now curate products from their favorite brands or their own line. So if you have certain t-shirts that you make or what have you, you can now add that. Now, this is important because one of the brands that have populated in a lot of people, I'm even thinking about looking at it, is called Fourth Wall. That is now available. So on your shelf for shopping, if you have mugs or whatever, that's now available. So it makes it easy to start creating and posting collections. Another one was the Affiliate Hub. That allows for the, or within the YouTube app, creators can now start working with shopping partners, which I think is good. The more we keep seeing this pop up, I'm getting an email like every day about a new major brand or company starting to get involved with YouTube shopping. So it's not just sometimes random brands that you don't do business with, but there's a lot of huge people like Samsung and on that are doing a lot of cool things and then tagging products in multiple videos. So you can now add that as well to like for your own products. And I think that's huge. So if you have a book, if you have your own mug, if you have your own t-shirt, like if you're creating a movement or you have Social Media Marketing World 25 coming up, we can now start to put that stuff on the shelf, create collections specifically for that versus maybe some specific swag here that was like Social Media Marketing World 24. Then they can be like, yeah, I definitely want next year's stuff, but I also want to grab this year's because I forgot to get it or it's sold out or something like that.
Yeah. And this is just for physical products, though, still, right?
Yes. But if you use Fourth Wall, I've seen a lot of people start to introduce digital products and stuff like that as well, because you're going through that platform so much. So with YouTube, the how you link it together may be, you know, require an extra step or two. But with Fourth Wall, you are getting some additional abilities there.
Oh, man. As somebody who sells digital products, that feels like Christmas and birthday rolled into one. Okay.
Exactly. And it's on the shelf under all videos because like, come on.
Yeah, that's great. And then from a marketing standpoint too, if you sell products anywhere, it sounds like I think the big opportunity here is if you have a way to reach your influencers, your creators, your affiliates, you can now encourage them to add your stuff. Especially I could see like the best selling stuff or the stuff that you know converts best on YouTube to their collections, right? That's what those shopping collections are. So you could add stuff like if you're promoting a Samsung product or things like that. If, you know, yeah, that's beautiful. Okay. And then also in live streams, ability to do a little bit more with affiliates in live streams. What's this update?
Yeah. So from the desktop, because it is a little different for desktop and mobile, but from the desktop live control room, it's what it's called. You're now able to do that. And as well during mobile. So initially, like you have to take the thumbnail and all these different steps. Well, now one of those things is that you can start tagging products. And this is right starting to eat into Amazon, the influencer program and their videos right into their lunch, because that is specifically one of the biggest selling features with Amazon. And so YouTube is now bringing that here, whether you can do that through desktop as well as during mobile setup, it's available to you, and then tag products that you want to start appearing without having to leave your stream that people can go to right there.
Do you know yet, since you can do this on mobile now, does that mean you could do it for the vertical streams that come up in the shorts feed that they introduced a couple months back?
I would imagine so, because I can't see it not work that way. Like it's too many good like signals and too many green check marks that are happening for it not to. So it's like, if you're not seeing it yet, expect it to happen very, very soon.
Okay. All right. almost never does somebody say, I wish I had more analytics on YouTube, but they keep adding more and more. So what are some of these updates that we're getting for YouTube analytics?
I think this one's, it's like you want them to hurry up with the A-B testing that they promised for thumbnails. But, you know, we keep getting this kind of stuff, but it's neither here nor there. So this one is where they're now giving you analytics to say, hey, during your live stream, if you've participated in one, you see the heart. 100% or maybe the laugh emoji, commonly used ones across any platforms. So now they're going to tell you, like, these are some of the emojis that people clicked on the most throughout the live stream versus others or what have you. The only way I can see this being beneficial for marketers is if you gamify this to some extent to say, we need 1,000 hearts in this stream. Number one, that's engagement. Number two, that's watch time. Number three, that's retention. And so four is session time on platform. So you can really gamify this, say we need 1,000 hearts in order for me to take turn maybe this members only stream where we dive into something that's usually like, let's say it's $60 on your website or something, $100. Yeah. You say, for me to make that free, we need 1,000 hearts on this stream. And, you know, I'll post it on the community tab. What that is, that is how I can see you starting to make that work for your benefit. Otherwise, it just kind of seemed like a dead add-on otherwise.
I don't know. I think my reaction was like yours initially, like, eh. But now that you've shared that, that sounds amazing. Yeah. For a lot of years, I worked in fundraising for nonprofits. And, you know, we've all heard this, whether you were listening to a radiothon or telethon or whatever. It's like, all right, if we get 10 more people before 12 o'clock, all the donations will be matched and we'll donate another $5,000 or whatever. So yeah, I really, really like that. The analytics updates I'm more excited about though are these next ones, which have to do with knowing a little bit more about the people that are watching. So tell us about this specific thing, because this I think is going to be really, really helpful.
Yes. So this is a new filter that's going to be in YouTube Studio Analytics, which all of us usually go to. And this is going to be sharing what the impressions are for new versus returning viewers on your video. So what this looks like is if we want to say for this video, for example, like how many people were new and what is their impressions like? How many did we attract? And then if we're looking at returning viewers, we may see like, dang, this one brought in way more new impressions. So maybe we did something different with the thumbnail. Maybe we did some A-B testing to some extent. And we can start to use those analytics to our benefit just to see like, dang, this is making a significant change. We should probably try this or implement this moving forward. And so I do like when they are starting to segment out more of the new and returning users bit.
Yeah.
Because now we don't have to kind of guesstimate, we have bona fide data that we can start to begin to track and make educated decisions around. And impressions, honestly, is one of the things that make the needle move, because we have to get people when they see the content, either they're going to click it or scroll past it, and we want them to click and continue to watch. So this helps to know if they're new to us or if they've been around our content already.
Yeah, which is great, because some of us make content for existing people and we make content that we're hoping to will attract new people. So that's great to verify. And then the other part of this is this new launch of audience segments, which I guess is part of the retention report. So tell us what we're going to be able to know about our audience here.
So this is one of the ones that I like a lot because I'm very big on audience retention. I talk about this nearly in all of my talks. Literally had one right before this, talked about audience retention. And so same thing. This one is, if you're not seeing it already, you should already have it, which is, again, the new versus returning viewers. When you click on a video, it's going to start to show us, are these new people that are watching this and for how long? Where did they skip ahead or fall off? And for returning users, two different lines now. It's not just one line like we've traditionally had. It's going to be two. And we can also see those that are subscribed versus non-subscribed viewers, which I'm finding in the data that we've been tracking in my company that if we have content where we are getting people to come back and watch more content and our retention on that is good, you know, we don't have a thumbnail problem, we don't have a title problem, but we do have a problem with converting them. So now we need to look into ways that like makes them want to trust us to say, go ahead and hit that red button. May not be the asking, it may be something else. So that's how we've been looking at this. So now we have two lines for that. I'm really excited about that.
And this is a premium feature that they are playing with right now, but it's such a fascinating thing. And first I was like, cool. And then I was like, well, I don't know. So explain what this feature is that they're experimenting now for people that have YouTube Premium.
I have very many thoughts on this. I don't know if we're going to go into this too much with the show, but it is called a premium jump ahead feature that they're experimenting with. And this is like if you pay for the YouTube premium options, like $13 or $15 a month, where you can now, or YouTube is going to save, they find that you're skipping in a video or you're pressing and holding to like skip so many times ahead or whatever. If they find like on a certain part of a video where people usually skip and you now decide you are going to skip as well, and they're having enough data to make this decision, YouTube is not going to take you only the 5, 10, 15, or 20 seconds ahead like you clicked on. They're going to take you to the next segment that they think, based on the data that they're finding, of where people that have been skipping, the part that they actually land on that they like. That, and I would assume they're talking liked based on watch time. Like there should be a strong retention point. We've already been seeing in the previous year or so, it's been like the last two or so, where you may click on a video and you see like a grayed out kind of graph, like most people watched here. This is the most watched section. Well, I'm seeing this would be a big potential issue for marketers and content creators alike, because this is intros that are going to be skipped even more. This is ad segments that are going to be skipped even more, especially for those companies that tend to do a cut and paste type of delivery that they want read for the ad segments. When I checked the comments out before the show, because I just wanted to see what the most recent ones were, everybody's concerned about this. That's a creator and very good cause for this as well. It is potentially questionable, especially because we already got chapters.
Yeah.
We already have that graph. It's like our watch time, our retention is going to be impacted. So it's like, dag, what did I spend so much time on that part for if you're just going to automatically jump people ahead? So it's like it's an experiment right now, but creators are very concerned about this and they have a right to be as well.
Yeah. As a human, I was like, oh, cool. And then I was like, you don't know me. Like whenever AI knows me better than I know me, I'm like, you don't know me. But I think you're right. And something that I think is really important, and I've been, when I work with people that are putting their podcasts on YouTube and definitely for their audio podcasts, you know, with longer form content, people will sometimes, even if they listen to or watch the whole thing, they will take a break and come back. I think that's important as we're making all of these. And this applies to chapters and the premium jump ahead feature. So you want to make sure that if somebody does come in partway through, obviously people can share a link to your video starting at 226 or whatever. There's at least some context. And so for me, I've found that it's been helpful to maybe just reemphasize what the video is about, reaffirm they're in the right place, you know, that kind of thing. Not all the time, obviously, but especially if you have a longer video that's going to be 12 to 25 to, you know, 30 minutes, it's really good to, when I worked as a radio personality, we would call this a reset. In radio, people would turn the radio on and off all the time. So if we were talking to, you know, we could be talking to Taylor Swift about once every 60 to 90 seconds, we'd still say, hey, if you're just joining us, we're on the phone with Taylor Swift. Because we want to make sure that, you know, people are up to date. And so I think that's just kind of work. It's important to do. And this can help with this as well.
Yeah, I'm seeing this work two different ways, especially with another update that came around about February of this year, is they changed the format of the desktop viewing. So you'll see now the comments for some people, they experimenting with this. So this may not be everybody. It just finally hit me. And all the comments, the description, title, all that stuff. Well, not the title. All that stuff goes over to the right hand side on desktop. And then you have like the like goes over there, comments where the suggested videos used to be. That's now the comment section and all the text based stuff. And there's these big chiclets of videos or thumbnails, essentially.
Chiclets.
That's a non-ending run of thumbnails of other videos to watch. And so what I would find with this jump ahead feature is that two different social behaviors has the potential to be developed if they continue with the desktop on mobile. You may see more people starting to skip, scan, and scroll unless they go into full screen mode. But even then, they probably still will as well because we're touching, so we probably will. On desktop, though, there may be a saving grace if they continue with this platform test, because what I'm finding is that a lot of people's social behaviors, including mine, is just to go full screen. So all of that distracting stuff is out of the way, because I personally don't like that.
Yeah,
it's just very off-putting. So I'm going full screen nearly every video. So I'm not skipping as much and I'm not looking around as much because there's nothing else to look at. So it has two ways to play out. If they're on desktop, you may have better watch time because they're not skipping. But on mobile, you may see a bit of a decline there. It just depends on how they decide to proceed with this.
I don't have that new view yet. Somebody asked me about it this week. I was like, nuh-uh. And so we got on a call and she shared her screen. I was like, oh, wow, that's interesting. And I think the first thing that popped in my head is if you're still saying in the description below this video, it's time to just say in the description.
In the description somewhere. somewhere on the page.
wherever they moved it this week, right, that's where you'll find this link that I'm referring to right now. So, all right, quick reminder, if you want quality training and a welcoming community, just take 2 minutes and check out socialmediasociety.info, socialmediasociety.info right now. Diana, where's the best place for people to discover more about you?
And you can absolutely go to dianagladney.com, or because we're here on YouTube or maybe on podcast, go at Diana Gladney and I will come up, or even my podcast video, Simplify Podcast.
All right. If you want to add another podcast to your listening lineup, a couple for you to check out, the Social Media Marketing Podcast, as well as the Marketing Agency Show. Until next time, may you be wise with your marketing decisions. Thanks, everyone. Bye.
The Social Media Marketing Talk Show is a Social Media Examiner production. For more social media insight, visit socialmediaexaminer.com.
If you're like so many fellow marketers and creators and entrepreneurs, you're probably wondering, how do I put AI to work? Well, be sure to listen to the AI Explored podcast, a new show from Social Media Examiner, hosted by yours truly, Michael Stelzner. Again, check out the AI Explored podcast.